Greetings, friends. Have you ever felt that the Lord Jesus Christ is mad at you? That he's upset about something? Well, let me tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ does get upset. And the Lord Jesus Christ was upset at the church at Ephesus. We can see this in Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 4. This is Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 4. He says to the church at Ephesus, "But I have this against you. You have left your first love." This is one of the things that the Lord was upset about, as he told the church at Ephesus, "You have left your first love." Now, what does that mean, and how does that relate to us? Well, the church at Ephesus had faithfully applied its tests in terms of its doctrinal and moral purity. They retained their doctrinal and moral purity. They had weeded out all kinds of evil and misguided men, people that sought to come in as wolves in sheep clothing to lead people astray, to teach them false doctrines, or to teach them that the law was done away with and that they could be free from all moral obligations, that, you know, Christ had died for their sins, so they could do whatever they wanted to. And that's what we call licentiousness, just living without the law and turning the grace of God into something that's laughable. God says that he will forgive us of our sins, but he doesn't expect us to continue in our sins. And people were teaching that. So you had people that were committing fornication and were teaching that that was okay. But the church in Ephesus, they fought against those types of immoral ideas. They fought against doctrinal impurity, such things as, for instance, that Jesus really didn't die, that he was just kind of asleep in the grave. Because after all, if God is eternal, then God can't die. But the scripture says that Jesus Christ died. That means he was dead, not alive, somewhere else, and his body was just lying there. He was dead, and the Father had to resurrect him. So they had false doctrines, but the church at Ephesus, they weeded out all of these kind of evil and misguided men, whether it was morally or doctrinally. But there was still a problem. There was something that was troubling the church, and obviously, because it was troubling the body of Christ, it was troubling Christ. And what was troubling Christ was that this love that they used to have for one another, it had gotten lost in the process of them trying to stick to their doctrinal purity and their moral purity. And it's fine, it's admirable, it's what we're supposed to do, to remain doctrinally pure and morally pure, to live by every word of God, to add nothing to it, to take nothing away from it, to live according to God's law, his Ten Commandments, in the letter and spirit of the law. Those things are good. But at the same time, if we are living according to the spirit of the law, knowing that the fulfilling of the law is love, then we won't leave our first love. So that's a clue to what the problem was they were keeping the law, they were keeping the doctrines, but whenever they saw people that weren't, as opposed to being merciful to these people, as opposed to being patient with the people and trying to bear their burdens and be meek about it, they were just very harsh and very direct and very quick to judgment, because they were always struggling against these forces to pull them in wrong directions. And we should fight and struggle against forces pulling us in the wrong direction, realizing that our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against wicked spirits in high places. So we should fight, but they couldn't achieve the balance, and that was what the problem was. They lost some of their love by trying to just stick to the rules, as opposed to understanding that sometimes people are weak. They transgress God's commandments, and they need some patience. They need mercy. They need counseling. So if a person commits fornication, that's bad. We should address that and tell them, you need to stop. If a person commits adultery, that's a sin. That's horrible. We need to tell them, you need to stop. But at the same time, we don't need to disfellowship that person, just kick them out, because anybody can slip up and make a mistake. So that's the balance. If somebody comes with a crazy idea, Like saying, for instance, that, well, maybe the Sabbath is done away with. Maybe it is okay to worship on any day of the week. And so we can worship on Sunday. Well, yeah, you can worship on any day of the week. You can worship on Sunday. But the day that God has set aside as his commandment, where he says he will meet with you in holy time, a special convocation, is on the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week. And so, yes, we can pray all of the time. We can study all of the time. We can be in fellowship all of the time. We should be, but there is still that commandment of God that the one day he has set apart for us to come together in a holy convocation, in case we perhaps can't do it at some other time, is on the Sabbath. So when people bring in these kind of ideas, again, you don't need to just say, shut up, just sit down. We already went through that. We're not going to go through that again. This is a brand new person, someone who's a babe in the faith. Don't have that kind of approach toward them. It's not that they're trying to introduce heresy. They're trying to learn the Word of God. So work with them. Gently reprove them. Walk them through the Scriptures. Even if you've done it for 10, 12, 30, 40, 50 other people, do it for this one person, realizing that this person needs to grow up into the full maturity and stature of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ was saying, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Now the word first has the connotation of being foremost in time, place, order, or importance. So foremost in time, you have to say, I'm going to do this first. Like, for instance, you know that above all other things, you should be praying, having that contact with God first, as opposed to getting up and doing something else before you pray. You should be praying so that the time doesn't slip away and you forget to pray. It's first in terms of place. It's first in terms of order, or first in terms of importance. So when God says you have left your first love, it means that we don't think that the things of God are as important anymore. They don't have the first place in our minds. Something else has usurped that. So the first love is lost when we don't seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, as it says we should do in Matthew 6, verse 33. In other words, our minds and hearts aren't into it anymore. It is not our priority mentally or emotionally. Leaving our first love is characterized by when we pray without joy, when we sing without enthusiasm, even when we do evangelistic work, but is work that looks good from the outside, but inside it's not really done with deep commitment. It's more of, well, you know, we should go and visit the sick, so let's do it. Let's kind of get it over with. It's kind of like that attitude, as opposed to, oh man, these people are sick and I'm really hurting for them, because I remember when I was sick, and because I have this love for people, and because I'm moved with compassion, because God's Spirit moves me with compassion, I want to go out there and help relieve this suffering, to heal hurting hearts, to mend mangled minds, to bind broken bodies. That's what we want to do. Get out there and really help people. So it's not doing these evangelistic kind of things just because it looks good or to gain points with God. No, it's because we have a deep commitment to God. Also, leaving our first love, it might be characterized by, again, us just praying in a routine. We just get up every morning, and I did say that it's important to pray first thing in the morning when you get up, but maybe it's a matter of, well, let me get up at 6 o'clock, let me pray for 15 minutes, I've got that in, okay, now I'm on my way to do something else. No, it's not that. It is you want to speak with your loving father and your elder brother first thing in the morning. You want to connect with them because you want that spiritual orientation. You want to have the mind of God and the heart of God so that you can think like God does, so that you can act like God does, so that you can feel like God does. That's what you want, and so you seek God with all of your heart, mind, and soul in the morning time, making that your priority, doing it with emotion. It's sincere. It's real. So that's the type of thing that we're talking about when we talk about having our first love. It means having a love for God and a love for our neighbors. That's our priority. Recently, members of Christian Ambassadors were blessed by God to be able to go to Africa to do some missionary work, to be able to provide for people in need. And it was so beautiful to be able to go and really give of ourselves, give of what God has given us to help relieve suffering that people are facing. And I just want to tell you about this one experience that we had where we went to a school that's a school for orphans. Two men got together, and just out of the generosity of their hearts, they said, we're going to start a school. And so they got the community together, and this is especially for orphans in the community. So they got the community get together, and they built a building that right now houses grades 1 through 4, but it's unfortunately not finished yet, because grades kindergarten and 5, they meet outside under a tree. And even in the place where the kids meet, grades 1 through 4, it's just a mud brick building. Nothing on the floor, just a dirt floor. The kids sit on the floor. There's about 30 kids to a classroom. Very cramped. No running water. No electricity. I mean, this is just truly in a village in the midst of trees, and they built this mud brick building. So we were able to go there and feed the kids, because a lot of the kids, they actually go a day or two without eating because they just don't have anything to eat. So we were able to provide food for the kids. We were able to give money to the schools to help them to do various things. But we also made a commitment to them that when we returned to the States, we would continue to help them. So I'm imploring you on this program to help us in helping them. Now, I'm not asking you for any money, and don't pass out. I know you're probably shocked at that. I'm not asking you for any money, but I am asking you for your support, and you can help support this school. It's called the Tumaini School, which we've highlighted on our website. And I'm asking you for support in the sense of giving some pencils, paper, pencil sharpeners, ink pens, even textbooks. They don't have textbooks there, believe it or not. Textbooks for grades kindergarten through fifth grade, backpacks so kids can bring their books to school, any kind of school supplies like that. And you can send it directly to the school. It's listed on our website, or you can send it to us, and then we'll forward it to the school. Again, we're not asking you for any money. We support the school financially so that all of the administrative costs are covered. So you know that 100% of your donation will go directly to the children, to supporting them in their needs. And so I hope you'll log on to our website, and you'll be moved with compassion to help us in helping these people. And really, you know, if you've gotten off track with your first love, if somehow you've kind of lost some of the luster, well, that's okay. In our next program, we're going to talk about how you can get back on track. And I hope you join me for the next program. I thank you for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.